Ron, a long relationship with the late, great Jack Vanberg. On the rejoin, we heard that Ali Sheba win in the 88 Classic, of course, a year earlier, right beneath those twin spires. He got the job done in the Kentucky Derby, but I mean, really, just so much more to him in his career, obviously.
You know, oddly enough, I feel quite honored to be speaking of Jack. Jude is a perfect person for being on this morning too, because Jude spent many years, like I did, at Hollywood Park and Santa Anita with Jack. And I really don't want to speak of 6,500 some wins and 8-time leading trainer, I believe he was, Derby winner, and horseman, you know, horseman. But I just want to touch base on what, you know, I tweeted out right after. I knew he wasn't doing well, and I tweeted out right after I heard he wasn't, he had passed, that, you know, you don't meet many great people in your life. You can probably count them on, you know, maybe one hand or two hands at the most. But for me, this was a great, great man and a great person. He was a really regular guy, as Jude could tell you. He had zero ego. He didn't know, much like Alan Jerkins, this man didn't know who he was. He didn't know what we thought of him and what other people thought of him. He was receptive to the aristocrats. He was just receptive to the peon, the, you know, the $2 place bettors that were on the apron. Always had time for everybody, young and old. Great storyteller. I mean, he could just mesmerize you with the stories he could tell. From a week ago or 20 years before. Auctioneer, you know, he could auction horses or cattle or goats or whatever. He was, you know, versed in that. He once said that, you know, if you worked for him and you couldn't train a racehorse after you were done working with him, that you, you know, I don't know if he put you were stupid or ignorant or whatever, but he was, Jude knows. Yeah. He knows all these stories. He was just different. You know, when you came into Hollywood Park in the day, you look forward to, you come in the back, we all parked there, Jude parked there when he trained. We all parked in the back lot. We come in the gate, and the first person on the right was Bobby Frankel, and then McAnally on the right. Mike Mitchell was on the left. Jude was down on the left, down the horse path road that went all the way back to the training track. And then the next barn after the road was Jack Vanberg. He was just adjacent to the 5-8 chute. And you just, more often than not, when you came in the gate, you touched base with him, whether you just went to say good morning or you went to ask him about a call or just to, you know, hear what he had to say. He was just different. Touched so many people, I think, if you really sat down and understood who he touched in his life. I mean, you probably could fill up Yankee Stadium or Dodger Stadium with just the people that he affected and or what you would say touched. He's the, you know, McAnally and Lucas would be the only two of that generation kind of left. He, you know, he influenced people like Billy Mott, Frankie Brothers, and Brian Lynch was very close to him here the last, I don't know, probably 10 or 12, 15 years anyway. Wayne Catalano, he was just one of a kind. He was also, he was famous for his you to remember this, is 10-minute naps.
Sometimes on his pony.
On his pony, too. But you can be anywhere, anytime, and he might have his eyes closed for like 10 minutes. And he'd be Hollywood Park, his famous spot for taking a 10-minute nap was down in the steward's office. And you'd go in there, you'd look in, and he'd have his eyes closed. Only about 10 minutes, but he'd sleep for 10 minutes, and then he'd be wide awake and ready to go again. But just a really good guy.
You know, you mentioned him not knowing who he was, and I think one of the things that illustrated that was when he took Ali Sheba to the Derby, and he took Charlie Whittingham along as his assistant trainer, right? I mean, that would never happen today. I mean, could you see Todd taking Wayne Lucas with him to the Derby to give him tips on how to train? I mean, but that's the kind of guy Jack was. I mean, he figured, you know what? Charlie's been here. He's won the race. I'm going to take Charlie and you know, bounce some things off of him. And I mean, what a genius move, right? First of all, and then that shows that he didn't have an ego, that he wasn't like, it's all about me, right? He just wants to win the race, and he'll win the race however he needs to win it. You know, I think that was one of the most endearing things, one of the most brilliant things about him when he did that. I mean, that just showed what kind of guy he was.
Yeah, it's these little stories like this are legendary, and like you said, in this day and age, I don't think you'd ever see anybody, addressing a race or a situation like that. But like you said, it was brilliant because he's liable to get one little insight or one little tip from somebody like that could make the difference. And he was smart enough and egoless enough to be able to address that.
Talking with Ron Anderson, one of the top agents in the country currently handling Joel Rosario and Nick Juarez, reminiscing about the late, great Jack Vanbrugh. You know, Ron, it's funny you brought up the auctioneering. I unfortunately, you know, sitting here and listening to you two guys, you guys have a few years on me and obviously are West Coast guys from the beginning. I almost feel like I missed out on a lot with a guy like Jack Vanbrugh. The only memory I have of Jack is I was probably 13 or 14 years old, and on one of the Super Saturdays at Belmont, they had a memorabilia auction, and Jack was going to be the guest auctioneer. And, you know, I'm a 13, 14-year-old kid from Queens. I care about the Mets, wrestling, and easy goer. I don't really care about much else. But, you know, whenever you hear, a celebrity this or guest that, you're thinking the guy's going to come in, wave his hat, say hello, sign a few autographs, and you know, it was before selfies and everything, and Jack got up on the podium, and it was like the most unbelievable thing some kid from Queens had ever seen. Like, he just went, I mean, he was a real auctioneer.
Absolutely. You know, and that's funny that you would say that he came in, you know, he was like a rock star, and he didn't realize it. And he had time for everything and everybody. I know stories of, you know, when I first came back to New York in 2000 to pick Jerry Bailey's book, I went out of my way I got to April the Keeneland, May, June. I called Jack on the phone and I said, you know, Jack, I know things are not quite the same in California. You need to get back here. I really think you could be a big splash, you know, back in the Midwest and the East Coast again. And his reaction was, and Jude knows this story too, about, you know, I've got this property situation up in Wrightwood, and I got to get this straightened out. But as soon as I do, I'm going to be on my way back. And I honestly think, you know, his career is his career, but if he would have gotten back to the East Coast again about that time, I really think his career would have taken off again. But, you know, circumstances didn't lead to that, so it didn't work out. But he was so well respected by everything and everybody. He will be sorely missed
and just a real quality person.
Well, Ron, thank you for some time this morning. Really appreciate it. Before we let you go, you have one favorite Jack Vanberg story?
I don't have any favorite stories, but I really am glad that I knew him and that I was around him, you know, that I could observe the brilliance of him and also the down to earthness of him, pleasant and with everybody, all the horsemen, all the press, all the agents, the jacks. He was always good at ribbing people. he was just a regular, right? Regular guy that you could sit down and have a beer with and talk to him by the hour. And most of the time, you didn't do a lot of talking. He would have the stories and all. And I miss all that. I'll miss him for him.
Well, thanks for some time this morning, Ron. We'll let you get back to it. Talk to you again real soon, and keep up the good work with Joel and Nick.
Thanks, guys. Thank you very much.